It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, Satellite Guys. Welcome to another exciting CES edition of the SatelliteGuys.us podcast. And Scott, you're fresh back from Vegas. How was CES?
Well, I don't know. It was different. A lot of 3D and not too much satellite, but some surprises in satellite as well, which was kind of interesting to say the least. Before we go on any further, I want to say hello to Patrick Norton of Techzilla and also Leo Laporte, the tech guy, who are listening tonight. Talk with them down at CES, and they actually indicated they tune in from time to time, and both are Satellite Guys members, although both would not say what their username was online.
Dun, dun, dun. You know, I do listen to Leo a lot, and I've known him since the ZDNet days, and I look forward to their advice and their technical advice, and the stuff I've learned from them.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I walked up to Patrick Norton at Showstoppers, and I was going to introduce myself, and he goes, "Oh, Satellite Guy's in the house." He knew exactly who I was, and I thought that was very cool. I really enjoyed a Techzilla show with him and Veronica, and it's an excellent video podcast if you haven't seen it, and you can see that online. Just search for Techzilla, and really, really good show there. So it was kind of neat meeting those guys, and glad they're tuning in and listening. Anyways, the big thing this year at CES was 3D TV. Saw a lot of 3D, and Bob, while it's going to be the next big thing in television, I don't think it's going to be really that big.
Yeah, I know. It seems like there's a lot of hype behind it. From what I've heard, I did not go to CES this year because of I took a pay cut, but the hype that I'm reading about it is a lot of people don't want to wear the glasses constantly, and they feel that it's going to be more of a thing that gamers might push.
Well, here's the thing. 3D is great if you're going to see a movie. 3D is great if you're watching a special event that's in 3D. But other than that, you're not going to want to watch 3D because you're going to have to wear the glasses, as you said. Now, the glasses are not going to be cheap. They're $99 a pair. So if you're going to have a Super Bowl party and the Super Bowl's in 3D, and there's no plans for that yet, but sooner or later we're going to see it. But if you're going to want to watch the Super Bowl in 3D, at $99 a pair, your football party is going to be pretty small.
You know, I wonder if you swipe on the glasses as you go see, like, Avatar in 3D from the movie theater, if those glasses would work.
Yes and no. I did one to one display, and I can't remember which display it was, but I did have a pair of true 3D glasses on me because I did go see Avatar while we were in Las Vegas, and I slipped them on, and it looked great. The 3D was great. And don't get me wrong, the 3D looks good. However, I don't see all the hype in it. One of the big problems I have with it is basically you're looking at a pair of sunglasses, so all the pictures and all the scenes are really dark, really hard to see. Not a lot of color, just like the movies. If you go see a 3D movie at the movies, the color is not as clean and crisp as you get from a regular HD picture. And I think that's pretty bad. It's causing a lot of eye strain, actually. If you go see Avatar and you're sitting there for 3 hours, about 45 minutes before it's done, you're going to find that your eyes are getting really tired. And the same thing goes on with 3D TV.
Yeah, I wonder if the ESPN and Discovery was a little premature with their announcements that they're going to be launching 3D HD channels.
Well, yeah, but they're not really launching 3D HD channels. They're launching 3D special events. So what we're going to see, basically, is some pay-per-view or non-pay-per-view events from Discovery and ESPN from select games and stuff like that. The big places for this to be right now would probably be the bars or also movie theaters for some of those things. I can see some of that stuff going on there where they're more equipped for it and people don't have to shell out $100 for a pair of glasses for each pair. Something there to go on. Also, another thing I didn't really care about the 3D, it was the $99 price tag on the glasses. Again, you're not going to have a big party if you want to invite everybody over to watch some 3D TV. The DirecTV 3D looked marvelous. We looked at that for quite a while at the Panasonic booth, and we stopped by there. And I kind of felt proud for DirecTV as I was sitting there at the booth watching on this gigantic 3D TV that they had out there. I was proud for them because they finally did it, and they finally, came out with something before anybody else, and the 3D TV, while announced, you know, about a week beforehand through leaks, they really held that one under their hats until almost CES, and that's a really good thing for them.
Yeah, DirecTV seems to be the kids on the block that kind of hide everything and don't really have any public notice, but when you go to these events, they're everywhere.
Yeah, DirecTV was not officially there this year, but there was a lot of DirecTV around, and we'll be talking about that a little bit more in the podcast. One of the other big things this year that we saw was not at the Dish Network booth, but at the Sling Media booth. And I'm going to go into a couple things here that I saw and my feelings on things. And take my feelings as rumors, please, because nothing is set in stone, but it's just my personal vision of where I see things going from here. At the TV Anywhere booth, the Sling Media booth, as you will, they showed off some really cool new things, including a new Dish Network 700U Sling Box. What this is a little tiny, thin sling box with a big-ass heat sink on it. If you've seen the pictures of it, it's about 8 inches long, but the electronics for the sling portion of it are in the center, and it's only about 2 inches. So that thing throws off some heat, and that the fins on it are actually the heat sink for the unit. Kind of surprising there, but the neat thing about it is you take this 700U unit, and you plug it into any HD DVR from Dish Network, and instantly you have Sling Box compatibility on your unit. That means you can watch Sling anywhere outside your house or inside your house. And inside your house is where things are going to get interesting, I think. They also showed a Sling Viewer, which is the Model 300. What you do with that is you hook it up to your HD TV and to your network. And if you have, let's say, a 922 in your house, well, the 922, a lot of people were complaining, saying, well, we want a dual-tuner HD DVR, but we want TV2 to be high-definition. Now, up until CES, TV2 has always been high-definition. But if you add the Sling Viewer onto your HD TV, now TV2 is full high-definition at the TV2 location. How cool is that, Bob?
Yeah, that's very cool. And looking at what DirecTV is doing and looking at what Dish Network's doing, it's really cool to see that they're innovating products. And what I really loved about it was how thin these units are. They slide in right, perfect size for a 922 or a 722 or whatever you have.
Yeah, and with this remote viewer, basically you have full control over your 922, just like you're sitting in the room with it. But you're seeing a full high definition picture. Now, where things really get interesting is at the end of the press tour they had at the Sling Media booth, they announced the support of Flash. Now, you may remember a couple months ago that Sling released the Sling Player for the iPhone, but when they released it, they said they were no longer supporting the classic units. They're only supporting the Solo and the Pro HD unit. And a lot of Sling users were very upset about that. Now, there's a big reason why they said that, and the reason was unveiled at CES. The reason why is because they're going to be switching their compression or their algorithm over from their proprietary format and will be instead streaming it in Flash format. That is very big because now any product that supports Flash can have Sling Player on it. Okay? Now, follow along with me here because this gets really interesting. Any product that supports Flash can have a Sling Player in it. What that means is, it's so exciting. Let's say you have a television and it's got, you know, right now it's got internet capabilities in it and you can do things like Twitter and Facebook. Well, your TV set will soon have built-in Sling Box reception in it without the need of any additional hardware to receive that Sling Box. You'll still need a Sling Box or Sling compatible Dish DVR like a 922 to send out a Sling signal. But in your house, on your TV, now your second TV in your house, basically, you'll turn your TV on and you'll select the Sling application and instantly you'll have Dish Network on that TV. No additional converter box is necessary. Now, if we put our rumor hats on, my prediction is next year we will see a new box at CES where it will be multiple tuners, and I'm not talking about two tuners, I'm talking about a lot more tuners, and this box you'll put in your closet somewhere, and instead of putting satellite receivers around your house, you'll either have a television that supports Flash, or you'll buy one of the Sling receivers, and instantly you'll have Dish Network satellite service on any TV in your house, with or without a converter box.
It's pretty exciting, Scott. You know, we haven't yet seen a multi-room viewing solution from Dish until now, and maybe this is one step closer to doing that multi-room viewing.
Yeah, and another interesting thing about the Sling and the Flash animation, Bob, is that they showed us a netbook PC, you know, a little $299 netbook, and they tried running a standard Slingbox Pro HD on it and showing full high-definition resolution. And that netbook could not handle it. It was skipping. It was stuttering. It was just really, really bad. And then they switched it over to the new Flash-based one, which uses the built-in video acceleration of the card that's inside the netbook. And the CPU usage dropped down below 50%. And the streaming of the high-definition picture was flawless. It's really amazing. They showed us also Flash will allow them to enter into most mobile phones. The oddball exception, of course, is the iPhone, which does not support Flash, but they've got a solution for that, I'm told. And they announced that they'll be soon supporting the Motorola Droids and the Google phones and all that other stuff, so the Sling stuff was really exciting.
Yeah, exactly, and with the iPhone, they already have the Sling iPhone application, so if you already have a Slingbox, you can use that right now. You just have to download the application through the App Store and iTunes.
Yep, and we're going to be seeing some improvements, I hear, on the iPhone side as well, so I don't know what those things are, but it's looking very exciting from Sling Media. On the Dish Network side, they really had nothing to announce. All their announcements were based on the Sling side, and that, to me, shows me where they're going with this technology and how important Sling is going to be to Dish Network in the future.
Yeah, I was really surprised with the lack of announcements on the Dish Network side. I know a lot of people are looking forward to channel announcements, and especially with DirecTV launching their new bird a couple weeks ago. And that's something that people are really excited to see, is what channels are coming to Dish Network that maybe DirecTV doesn't have, or that DirecTV does have that Dish currently doesn't.
Well, yeah, well, like we mentioned in the last podcast, you know, I knew that there wasn't going to be any big announcements when they canceled the press conference. And we tried asking questions about new HD. We tried asking questions about the price changes coming up. We tried asking questions on numerous things. And basically the response we got back was, there's nothing we can add to that at the moment. And, you know, they wouldn't answer any further questions. And honestly, with the way things are going right now, I really don't blame them, and it's probably the most respectable thing for them to do. Instead, they focused on what they had there, and that was probably a good move by Dish Network.
Yeah, you know, like we talked earlier about on the podcast there, Scott, DirecTV seems to be the comeback kid, and there was a hidden receiver at many booths that we found, and Gadget found, that DirecTV kind of put out there, but we had to find it to see what it was about.
Well, actually, we didn't even find it. We went to the Entropic booth on, I believe it was Thursday, and we found a bunch of stuff in there, including a SWIM 32 switch, which we showed at Satellite Guys a couple months ago, and a couple other things there. But the big surprise was on Saturday, they put out a receiver known as the RVU unit, and it was a very nice unit. It was kind of like a whole house receiver. Now, in talking with people I know inside DirecTV, at first they were saying it would not be for home use, and now I'm being told by my contacts that it was a proof of concept, and that product may never be released. It was just them showing off what they can do. But whatever it is, it looked friggin' exciting, Bob.
Yeah, I know. You know, it looked a lot like AT&T's U-verse home, Total Home solution, whereas they were using an ATSC tuner through QAM, and they had it encrypted. And you had to have a QAM decryptor on the other side of the TV to be able to watch those DirecTV channels. And I really think that this is something they should push forward. Forget the proof of concept. Let's push this forward, because put that puppy in the closet, run your four cables to whatever four TVs you got, and bam, you got DirecTV right there at that room.
Right. I know a lot of people were mad at us for not covering that product at CES, but honestly, it was not at their booth. And it was only at their booth when they showed it for, I'm told, 3 hours, and then they took it out. I don't know why they only showed it for such a short time. If they want to get publicity on it, they really need to keep it out there so we can see it and promote it for them. And it was a very odd thing, so we do apologize for not covering it, but we did go to that booth and cover the booth fully before then, and it was not there.
Yeah, DirecTV, they're the missing kids at CES. Everyone wants to see them, but no one can find them, but they're everywhere. I'm kind of surprised that DirecTV has not participated in CES the past few years, because they really, it's a missed opportunity to get some great publicity for their product out there.
Well, honestly, Bob, if you think about it, you know, those booths at the CES are not cheap, and you know, they got a lot of exposure this year without being there. So maybe it's good to have their partners showing stuff off for them, but I honestly wish they'd let people know where their products could be seen at CES, so that way we can cover them more for them.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of getting product coverage, we have some exciting news with Extreme HD.
Yeah, I got to sit down with George Gonzalez, the CEO of Extreme HD. And, well, Bob, let's roll that right now, shall we?
Okay.
This is the Satellite Guys Special Report.
Thanks, Bob. We're here at the Consumer Electronics Show, and for the past 3 years, we've been watching a new company, a new satellite company, and it looks like they're finally ready to get off the ground. I'm joined today by George Gonzalez of Extreme HD. George, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Scott.
Well, it looks really exciting what we've seen here from you this year. Actual working demonstration with an actual satellite feed. How are you feeling?
Oh, we're feeling great. Extreme HD is really happy to be able to be broadcasting live here to CES and being able to show this system.
Now, while we can't show it here in the podcast, we got pictures of it online. We've actually got a screen where you're showing your satellite up there. Tell us a little bit about your satellite transmission that you're doing.
Sure. We're broadcasting on AMC 16. It's at 85 degrees west longitude. We have two transponders currently active, streaming HD content. So we're bringing down that content into our Extreme HD media server at bit rates of up to about 150 megabits per second.
Okay, for those people just tuning in, don't know anything about Extreme HD and been living in a shell, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Extreme HD is focused on developing a new transport system. It does a new type of modulation system that brings content into the home. The whole key behind that was being able to deliver a full 1080p experience into the home. Now, you know that's been a challenge, but now that for others as delivering full 1080p, but now that we have the Extreme HD transport system, we can bring those movies and deliver real Blu-ray quality titles to the consumer in their home. And that's what Extreme HD is focused.
But it's not just Blu-ray quality. The audio quality is awfully damn good, too.
Oh, absolutely. The audio quality is lossless. We support the standard Dolby Digital Plus, AAC Plus, and others. But in lossless, we support FLAC and DTS Master Audio. So you can get 96 kilohertz, 24-bit sampled music, and it feels like you're right there in the concert.
And you're not just limited to the movies on it. You've got a DLNA-enabled server where people can access their music and other things, is that correct?
That's right. As a DLNA-certified server, our server, as it builds a library for the consumer, it can then distribute that library to any DLNA-certified client. So, such as here at CES, we're showing it with a PlayStation 3, which is a DLNA client. So the PlayStation 3, without any modifications, can recognize our server, see the content, and you can listen to music or watch movies, and even movies up at bit rates up to 80 megabits per second.
Very, very interesting. Now, a lot of people have been waiting a long time for Extreme HD to come around. They were really excited when you first announced it a couple years ago here at CES. I hear you're about getting ready to launch it. Can you tell us a little details about that?
Sure. And for Satellite Guys, we have a special where we're running on our consumer website, extremehd.com. where consumers can pre-order systems. The delivery is going to be in April when our network goes live to consumers. The network is up and live now, and we're running beta tests on the network. But for a mere $25, you can reserve an Extreme HD server and media receiver. We call that a fast start kit. It contains a 1 terabyte server with one of the media receivers, the Extreme HD media receivers, that can deliver and decode all the highest quality audio and video. We also have another kit called a Pro Start that couples the 1 terabyte server along with the Pro Receiver. And the Pro Receiver adds 8 channels of analog outputs at 24-bit, 96 kilohertz sample rates, so it can deliver the lossless audio that audiophiles would expect.
Now, a neat thing about the Extreme HD that I like is it's the centerpiece of your home entertainment system. It's not just your music, it's not just your audio, but it's your favorite TV shows as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. To round out the offering, Extreme HD built in a network video recorder into the media server. Now note, the media server can go in a closet, it can go in a cabinet, it can go in another room. It delivers the content to throughout the house on an Ethernet network. Gigi, if you're going to do real HD content, because 1080p is moving a lot of data. So, as a network video recorder, it can record your up to 3 HD tuners and bring in that content and store it in your library and then distribute it to any receiver anywhere. So you can see it on your laptop, on your PlayStation. Now, Scott, let me ask you, where can you watch TV on your PlayStation? Only in Extreme HD.
Nowhere yet. I'm looking at it now as we're recording this, and it looks fabulous up there. It's really an incredible product. Well, George, we thank you for joining us at the podcast today, and we wish you all the best of luck. We're going to be seeing a lot more of you guys at Satellite Guys. We're going to be launching a special forum for Extreme HD as we get ready to launch, and look forward to a long partnership there, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott. We do look forward to the partnership with Satellite Guys. Thanks today.
Wow, Scott, that's really exciting. I got to get myself to ExtremeHD.com. In fact, as I'm looking at the website right now, they don't have currently the ordering details up. It's coming soon. But as Satellite Guide staff, we'll make sure that we get you the information needed once when it comes out from Extreme HD.
Yeah, they had the ordering page up, and I guess there was some error in it, and they took it down just to be safe because they don't want anybody getting scared that their information is getting out to anybody or anything like that. It wasn't even anything like that, but just for safety's sake, they took it down and are fixing it and should have the order form back online pretty soon. But Bob, that box was really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about the bit rates that Extreme HD is pumping out. 80 megs of video, that's insane, and that's more than what Blu-ray offers.
That's correct, and also the sound quality is also higher than what Blu-ray can offer as well.
Yeah, with the Dolby 7.1 Dolby Digital or DTS Master Audio.
Dolby DTS Master Audio is the big one there, and they got the professional box, which will give you the professional audio, and you're not going to hear any better audio anyplace. And what excites me about the box as well is it's got the 3 ATSC tuners in it, which basically turns into a big DVR that you can watch anywhere in your house on a DLNA-enabled device or through one of their receivers. And that's pretty dang cool. And the other thing that's really dang cool is it is a DLNA server, so all your music and photos and stuff are accessible anywhere in your house. And we were also showing some other stuff which we didn't get filmed, but they got some incredible parental controls and other options in there, so you can make sure that your kids ain't ordering things up. And another neat thing about it is if you order a movie and decide you want to keep the movie, not only will you be able to save it to your hard drive and offload it to a SATA hard drive, you will also get a copy of the movie on Blu-ray in the mail.
And that's really exciting. That's what I love about that is because you have that physical hard backup with the digital backup on your hard drive, and it's really great to see that they're doing that.
Yeah, they're thinking outside the box here. It's really exciting. You really got to see it, and hopefully they update their website a little more to really show what Extreme HD is, because a lot of people are they're comparing this to like a Vudu or Boxy or something like that. And this is beyond this. You're having real pure high definition, non-compressed. And when I say non-compressed, the video quality is equal, if not better than Blu-ray. Better audio, and plus all the functionality of having a DLNA enabled stuff in there, and also the 3 over-the-air tuners that make it a really incredible box and make this box the hub of your entertainment center.
For those true Satellite Guys out there who are geeks, think about it this way. It's like receiving a fully uncompressed C-band signal in high definition straight to your house.
Yeah, and the boxes are currently updating with new movies and stuff. It's a really neat concept. Now, you might have seen a video I did with George. And we did a nice video interview with him, and he was trying to show us the satellite bandwidth he was getting on the video, and he was hitting lots of buttons on his remote, and it wasn't working. And what happened there is, while we were recording, the satellite dishes are upstairs, and I guess upstairs is like a big, I don't know, parking garage or loading dock or something like that. And what happened during the interview was a forklift actually drove in front of the Extreme HD satellite dish that was out there. It's just sitting on the ground. And blocked the satellite signal. So when George was trying to push all those buttons and get the bit rate to show on the screen, and it wasn't working, that's what was happening there. And just to let you know, after the video, I asked George if he wanted to reshoot it again. And George looked at me with all the confidence in the world and said, "I know my product works. I know my product works great. I'm happy with what we shot." And that was the end of it. So I know some people were picking on him, saying his box didn't work. But reality-wise, it was someone with a forklift driving past the satellite dish and actually parking up there for a couple minutes. And that's what caused the issue, and that's why he couldn't show you the satellite bitrate. But trust me, I sat with George for quite a while, and he took me through the complete system. And I was shocked and amazed by what I saw. And also, people have been saying this is the third year for Extreme HD at CES. You know, they're saying the boy cried wolf and blah 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 and all this stuff. Folks, this is real. They have two transponders up there now. They are broadcasting, and the broadcasters are coming down. It is working. The beta is about finished up, and they're launching in April. And we here at Satellite Guys are going to be part of that, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, you know, George was excited last year because he had the transponders up last year just testing. And this is definitely something that's going to be really interesting to see how this product does evolve and what partnerships with maybe television providers they announce.
Well, one of the things that George told me, and unfortunately I can't say, is he told me a big list of the movie providers they have deals with, but I guess they're planning on doing a big release about that when they launch the service. And if you take a good look at the screenshots we posted, or take a good look at the video, you'll see boxes in there, and I'm told that all those companies that you see on the screen, they have deals with. So if you can figure them out, then you know it's coming down the line, and I think it's pretty damn exciting.
You know, Scott, so now that CES is officially over, it's time to reflect a little bit. What's your thoughts on CES?
Well, the 3D thing, honestly, I think it's a fad. What's happened is the TV industry came out too quickly and dropped their prices too low on real HD TVs. All these LCD TVs and stuff like that selling for $1,000 or under has everybody having a new HD TV. And now that everybody's purchased a new HD TV, the HD manufacturers have to think of a new scheme, basically, to get people to buy another new HD TV. And they're using 3D to get people to do that. And I don't know how well it's going to sell. It's neat, but again, if I want to see a 3D movie, I'd rather go to the local movie theater, because the local movie theater, you know, you can enjoy it there, go home, and while you're there, you can have better tasting popcorn than you can make in your microwave.
Dang straight about that, Scott. Well, that's the music.
All right. Well, the other big things was the TV Anywhere and DirecTV. But some exciting stuff coming down the line. Right now, we're just in the beginning of it, and I think we're going to get going into the future, and it looks really exciting.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.